Hello, you are listening to Comp My Pod. This podcast in no way reflects the views and opinions of any travel corporation or entity. This podcast is strictly the opinions of the commentators.
Welcome to Comp My Pod. I'm Derek, joined by my co-host Sarah.
Hey.
We both work in the travel industry, but we're also frequent guests ourselves, as you will hear this episode. I'm fresh off a trip. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a couple of our favorite stories off of Reddit. And then we'll go through our picks of the week and talk about whatever the hell we want to.
Yep. What are you drinking, Derek?
So this week I am drinking something that I don't particularly enjoy. I was going to
Let me just say. First, I get over here and I ask him what he's going to drink, and he's like, Red Bull. Let's talk about that for a minute.
First off, sugar-free Red Bull. Let's be clear. Okay. I have a wedding coming up in about a month.
Excuses.
I'm trying to trim down a little bit, trying to like cut back on the booze. Yeah. Because booze is just pure calories, liquid calories.
So just don't eat.
Well, I guess I won't, because through peer pressure, I found some cheap-ass sparkling wine that somebody gave me. And if you're listening, sorry that it was you.
It's fucking Andre.
Andre sparkling wine.
So bad.
So that's what I'm drinking. And it's kind of tart, it's kind of sweet at the same time. It's weird. It's a little, well, it is quite flat for a sparkling wine. But I mean, it's fine. It's got a little alcohol in it, and I'm certainly not gonna drink it too fast because I don't really love it. But I am drinking this episode. But if you just want a really not great extra dry sparkling wine, the link will be in our show notes. What are you drinking, Sarah? Yeah, bitch.
Oh, shit. So hilarious. This is so great to watch you drink this. It's so great. I'm drinking a beer called Shock Top. It's a pale ale. It's incredible. I love this beer. This is one of my favorite beers.
How great for you.
It's not cheap. Yeah, it's excellent. It's made in St. Louis, Missouri, and it will also be in our show notes.
Yeah.
It's a very popular beer. You can pretty much buy it everywhere. So, yeah, I love it. They have, like, an Instagram and everything, too, which is pretty cool. I might post some stuff on there for us.
Yeah. Have you enjoyed your Shock Top?
Excalibur mug.
Yes. The ever-present Excalibur mug. All right. So, now that we're through what I'm drinking, other than what Sarah's drinking and enjoying.
That could be an entire segment. Just that. Entire show.
We'll move on to our Reddit segment. So this is where we pick our favorite stories from Reddit. Typically, up to this point, it's been from Tales from the Front Desk, because that's what we've been the most familiar with. But this week, Sarah's got some from a couple of different Reddit threads. So do you want to go ahead and read your first one and explain what, you know, where it came from?
Yeah, sure. That sounds good. There's a whole lot of subreddits that are Tales From on Reddit, and I just started going through some of them, and I thought it would be interesting to maybe start including some different ones now and again. So I found a couple that I liked. My first one comes from Tales From Housekeeping.
Cool.
And it's from user... Neither one of us know what this person's
user...
It's just a bunch of letters, so it'll be in the show notes.
If anybody cares,
And it is titled, "As a guest, what's the best way to leave my room? I have worked front desk for 2 years now, but I also frequently stay in a room as a guest as well. What's the most courteous way to leave a room for the housekeeper? Strip the bed and pile dirty linen together by the door? What else? Do I include the shower curtain, the trash? How would you like to see the room when you are going in to clean? First of all, don't do any of those things. Except for maybe the trash. Do not take the shower curtain down. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Don't do that shit. Please don't do that. Yeah, don't strip the bed. Don't do that.
Okay, so, I mean, sometimes, you know, there are these stories out there about, like, you know, or, you know, blog entries, travel entries about how to, you know, make your housekeepers love you. And they suggest shit like this. You know, strip the bed, put it all in a pile, make it to where everything's in one sheet where they can just pick it up and go. And I do that with towels. I'll, like, lay a, you know, a big towel down and, like, put all the used towels in one so they can just kind of pick it up, kind of like a bag.
Yeah.
Because it's one less thing to do.
They usually do all that themselves. I mean, they have their own system. They know. I mean, because here's a little known fact about hotels. They don't wash the comforters.
Right.
I'm just going to let everybody know that.
With rare
that's listening.
Exception. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're washed on a rotation.
Yeah.
But they're washed on a rotation schedule unless there's a catastrophe and they absolutely have to be washed. But those aren't washed. And when I say the comforter, I mean it's the blanket in between the sheet that's actually touching your body and the overlay sheet that will also be touching your body. Mm-hmm. So this is the blanket that's wedged in between the sheet and then the I think they call it a coverlet or a duvet
or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not actually touching your skin, or it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And unless it's just completely trashed, they don't wash those.
Yeah.
So.
And most mattresses have like a mattress pad or kind of mattress protector on them. They don't typically pull those off
washed,
either, right?
And those aren't taken off. Again, those are only washed, you know, they're washed on a rotation. They are washed on a schedule, but they're not washed every single time.
Yeah. So
stripping the bed, no, that's not.
So just.
That's just going to cause them more work, because more than likely you're going to take a bunch of shit off the bed that doesn't get taken off the bed.
So back to the post title, as a guest, Sarah, what is the best way to leave my room?
Just leave.
Don't do anything.
Just leave. Yeah. It's fine. I mean, it's their job to clean it up.
Unless
you've really done something horrible in the room, it's fine. Yeah. There isn't anything that you need to do.
And when you leave a tip. You know,
yes.
Even if it's just a couple of bucks.
Yes.
You know,
leave a tip.
We're
absolutely.
Going to talk about it in a minute. I just got off a trip and I declined housekeeping service because you get extra points that way. And plus, I didn't need it, you know. We weren't doing anything crazy. But, you know, the room, it had, you know, kind of built up, like, all the towels under the sink and whatever over a few days. And, you know, it was a little extra to clean because nobody had been in there. The trash, you know, a couple of trash cans needed emptying whatever. And I left them like $5. You know, it's not a big deal. And I left them, like, half a bottle of bourbon that they may or may not have drank. I don't know.
Some hotels let them keep it, some hotels don't, so it just depends.
but always tip, even if it's a little bit. It's very much appreciated, and it's kind of one of those karmic things. You'll probably never meet the person or see the person again. You're on your way out. But you know, it's a little good that you can do in the world to kind of make somebody's day better, because they put up with a lot of shit and they get very little recognition for it.
Yes. Housekeeping is, that's a tough department all around. It's a tough job. It's very physical, you know, you're exhausted at the end of pulling one of those shifts. I mean, I really think that that's a job in a hotel that every single person that works in a hotel should have to do at least one time. You should have to work an entire shift with a board cleaning rooms. Dragging that cart around.
Yeah.
Making sure you have all your stuff.
Everybody should have the opportunity. Yeah. I don't, and I'm not going to seek it out because I'm not any of those things, including physical. But
yeah. Yeah, but you've inspected rooms and done things like that.
Yeah,
so
I've
you
done kind
know,
of the back end
like,
of it.
You know, you have an idea.
I would know what to do to get it to, you know, be
exactly.
ready for inspection, I guess.
You know what's supposed to be in there and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, those ladies and guys see a lot of horrible things.
Yeah. All right. So my first story, and only story this podcast, I'm going to use my second slot to talk about my trip. It's from Tales from the Front
Desk. I can't wait for your trip.
It's from user Call Him Mr. Vane. So it goes, this happened last night. I come in for my audit shift to find out we are sold out and have 3 arrivals left. Actually, let me back up and stop here. So, with most hotels, if they get what's called a perfect sale, where every guest checks in and, you know, you don't have any no-shows or anything like that. Basically, there's everybody, every room is filled, right? Am I explaining this correctly? A lot of times the front desk staff, depending on the policy,
everyone will get checked in.
A bit of a bonus.
Yeah. Everyone has to be, there has to be a head and a bed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, that's kind of the what's behind this post. All right. So, this happened last night. I come in for my audit shift to find out we are sold out and have 3 arrivals left. We have a process where on sold out nights, our B shift agents call any remaining arrivals after a certain time, 9 p.m., I think, to inquire if they're still planning on coming. My coworker tells me 2 of the 3 are coming, but the 3rd didn't answer, so she left a voicemail. Since no-shows are very common at my property, we agree that if said guest hasn't arrived or called us back by 1 a.m., I can sell their room to someone else. Well, almost at exactly 1 a.m., I get a walk-in. I go ahead and sell him the presumably no-show room. Just as I'm handing him the keys, another man walks through the door. I'm praying it's one of the other 2 arrivals who confirmed that they're coming. Nope, it's the dude whose room I just gave away. Fuck. I apologize profusely and tell him we had a, quote, inventory error, and I ended up walking him to a nearby sister property.
Can you talk about what walking means? Just for a moment.
So, yeah, before I finish the post, out there, so that walking,
this is an industry term.
Walking means that you basically have set up another reservation.
You're getting bounced.
Yeah. There's no room for you at the end.
That's what it means.
You've arranged for this guest to go to another, hopefully nearby property, and the hotel that they originally booked at, your hotel, is paying for that room for the night because whatever has happened has caused them to not have a room at your property.
Correct.
All right. So, it goes on to say, I apologize profusely and tell him we had a, quote, inventory error, and I ended up walking him to a nearby sister property.
Mm-hmm. They did. Self-inflicted.
Thank God he was understanding.
You got lucky there, because usually they're not.
But this is why I fucking hate when people don't call to let us know they're going to be late. Yet, on the opposite side of the spectrum, you have the people who call to inform us of their, quote, very late arrival of 8 p.m. LOL.
Or 6.
Yeah. I love that. They'll call and be like, I know your check-in's like 3 or 4 or whatever, but
I'm not getting there till 6.
I'm not going to be there till like 5. Is that okay?
Are you going to hold my room?
Yeah, freak out.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a lot to say about this. So,
yeah, I do too. There's a lot. I have a lot to say about this too.
So first off, I mean, I get, you know, wanting to have every room sold. Fine. But even if this person, if you weren't able to get in contact with this 3rd guest, you do not have the right to give their room away.
Exactly. No, you do not.
I don't care if you have.
They have a guaranteed reservation.
Yeah.
Holding it with a credit card. Now, if there was no card, mm-hmm. you had no idea.
Or you tried to authorize the card and it wouldn't work or whatever.
Sure.
But
if that was in the agreement, though, on the reservation, that it was a prepaid reservation.
True. It depends on.
Because you still can't do that shit either.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah, this was just a complete fuck up all mm-hmm. the way around. I'm guessing this is probably like a franchise property or something, because this doesn't sound like any kind of corporate.
It has to be, because if you do that shit at a corporate property, you might lose your job over doing some shit like this.
I mean,
because if you sell a room out from somebody like that and they're a rewards member,
oh my
God, costs
Well, that's one of the benefits of being an upper tier rewards member. If you show up and you don't have a room from a guaranteed reservation, depending on the company, you get a lot of shit.
Like, some of them give cash. Some of them give cash
they just
rewards.
Throw it at you. Yeah.
Points. I mean, yeah, you get a lot.
Yeah.
You get a lot. So, yeah, that was a huge mistake. Because I know usually the way that it works is most properties will not do their audit. And an audit is just a change of the business day. Mm-hmm. That's all that that means. The computers restart and the whole hotel just closes itself and reopens for people that don't understand mm-hmm. what that means. And most hotels don't even do that process until 3, 4, maybe mm-hmm. even 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning the next business day.
Right.
So they can technically see hold your room until 4, 5, even 6 a.m.
Right.
So, and the whole calling people thing, we need to talk about that.
That's
going to bite you.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. It may not have happened yet, but you're going to leave a voicemail on somebody's wife or boyfriend or exactly. husband or lover, whatever's phone, and you're going to have an angry person mm-hmm. on your hands calling,
storming
being like,
storming your
what
desk.
The fuck is yeah. going on?
Yeah.
What do you mean what they have a reservation? Mm-hmm. who the fuck is this?
And it's like,
don't call people to confirm like, reservations.
It's like 9 p.m. and they haven't checked in yet. It's going to be a late night
or 10
thing.
Or 11
yeah.
or 1.
No.
Don't fucking call people and confirm their reservations.
No.
Do not do that.
And then the last
no.
thing, the last thing about this, and this was a really
this
short
This is not
post,
a hair appointment.
But, yeah.
okay.
Like, it's not a hair appointment.
It's not a fucking dentist. I mean... Don't do that shit.
This was a short post, but there's a lot in this. The last thing I saw that really bothered
lot,
me
yeah.
was, if nothing else, okay, so this third person comes in, and thank God he was understanding, is what this poster said.
Yeah, because usually they're not.
A truer statement could not be made, because the person, first off, said that they had a, quote, inventory error. Don't do that shit with a walk, either. Mm-mm. I've only done it a couple of times. I've only had this situation a couple of times where I've had to walk somebody.
Yeah.
But I had a really good, like, seasoned person train me, and he told me to always, you know, blame it on, like, a pipe burst or, like, without saying it, like, a sewage issue or something, you know, something like, we wouldn't want you to stay in that room, you know, we're going to pay for you to stay right over here, it's fine, we're really sorry, but your room's going to be free tonight. And that kind of, both times I've had to do it, I've gotten off lucky that they were real chill about it and they understood and they felt like we were doing them a favor. Whatever, that's fine. But to walk in and blatantly admit that it's your hotel's fault, that there's an inventory error.
Yeah.
They don't know how lucky they were that they got off with the person just walking
just
out.
Being
and
like,
just being
like, okay,
well,
yeah,
bye.
And being cool. Yeah, because usually it does not go down like that.
No.
Not at all.
Do you have any stories that come to the top of mind about having to walk somebody and people going nuts?
I have so many stories. I mean, I've worked at so many properties that differ when it comes to things like this. I mean, I've worked at properties in big, huge metropolitan areas where they already know. It's so funny because a lot of these guys are just, they're professional travelers. Like, mm-hmm. they travel for a living. Mm-hmm. They've had this happen to them before, and as soon as you go to open your mouth, they're like, where am I going?
Yeah.
Like, they already know what you're about to say. So I've had that extreme, and then I've had the totally other side of the spectrum where the person just... I've had people cry.
Oh, my God.
I've had people literally just... ball and cry. I've had people just sit down on the floor. I'm not leaving.
Oh my God.
I'm not leaving. You can't make me. Had to call the police. Yeah, you're leaving.
That's awesome.
You're leaving. Yeah, I mean, I've literally, I've had pretty much every...
And at the end of the day...
every spectrum imaginable when it comes to this situation. I actually had a supervisor one time that... she, bless her heart, got the worst once. This didn't happen when me and her worked together, but she told me about it. She had to walk 10 people in one night.
Oh, my God. I would fucking die.
10 people in one night.
Mm-mm. One is, like, the apocalypse.
I mean. One is the literal end of the fucking world is happening for you. Like, you are so upset the entire night. Like, you are. You are upset the entire night until it happens. And you're just, like, praying and praying to all the gods imaginable that this person does not show up. I can't imagine having to do that 10 fucking times.
Oh my God.
I was just like, that's awful. And I think she said... only, like, a couple of them were cool about it. All the rest of them were just...
oh, my God.
It was bad.
No.
Yeah, she got threatened, you know, I'm going to have you fired. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yep, you're the fifth person that sold me that. You know, like, come up with something else.
Yeah. What else you got?
Come up with another line, dude. You know, yeah. Yes. I was like, I would have left. I can't believe that she made it. Yeah. Through that shift.
I bet she died a little inside that night.
She has no soul like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Welcome to hell. Yeah. Come on in.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. What is your second story?
So, my second story is, this comes from Tales from Your Server, another awesome subreddit. If you guys want to get on there and check that out for all you restaurant people out there, it's very entertaining. So this one comes from user The Frisky Firefly, and it's titled, "A Man Threatened to Hit Our Hostess." Yeah. So thank God these people weren't my table. They pretty much were the worst. We had a wait at the door, and this man and woman were getting impatient. They got mad when another table was sat before them. Wait, I'm sorry. Already they call for a manager, and when they finally were ready to sit, they throw the pager at the host.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is already not going well. While they had their meal, they ordered the most I'm sorry. My font is like tiny. While they it's totally
you
my
need
fault.
A magnifying glass, yeah, grandma.
Right? God. While they had their meal, they ordered the most expensive steaks and complained that it wasn't cooked right. So the server takes to the kitchen to fix it. Now it's too cold, apparently. Manager comes and takes the steaks off their bill.
What?
Yeah. That's what I'm... There's a lot going on here. The server ends up getting stiffed on a 60-something dollar tab. As the horde people finally leave, the host innocently says, which I don't think she probably innocently said this. I think it was very... Mm-hmm. Probably rudely said.
What'd she say?
"Have a great night. Hope you had a good experience."
You fuckers.
Right? Yes, shit. Oh, as she would say to everybody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Sure she did. The guy lunges over. Oh, you being a smartass. And runs up like he's about to punch her. The poor little host runs to a manager. And once the manager and all the guys from our kitchen run up to the door, the pathetic man and woman drive away. People are insane. So... what do you think about all this? There's a lot going on here.
Were there just like streams of guys running out of the kitchen?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like,
did they have the cleavers in their hands and shit too?
That's totally what I'm picturing now.
Cast iron skillets,
like coats on, like,
and their fucking hats, little chef hats.
Oh God, that's awesome.
Oh my God,
that's amazing. Exactly what was happening.
I mean, these people obviously were
total
assholes. Not cool.
Yeah, they were total assholes,
to say the least. But
they egged them on at the end. Here's my thing: they should have never been allowed to stay. Okay, that's mm-hmm. Once you throw something, you gotta go. All bets are off now. You don't need to get service anymore. Like, if you're throwing, cussing people, yelling at people, we don't need your business.
Yep.
Like, I'm sorry. Especially this place sounds like it was mad busy and it was full. There's plenty of people in there. Just go on. Like, we don't have time to deal with you. I mean,
I almost thought it was kind of a nice place until it wasn't, until she said that they ordered the most expensive steaks on the menu,
and it was only $60.
And it was $60 for two expensive steaks. Yeah, no. I've ordered one steak that's like twice the amount of that, if not more. Yeah, I mean,
for one steak,
so
sure, easy.
Obviously, that's the caliber of people that you're dealing with,
right? But still, it's unacceptable behavior.
Absolutely,
no matter
because,
where you are,
because of that, you got to know. Yeah, you got to know where the line is. Yeah,
yeah, sure.
So, there's a lot.
Once there, that's, the pager got thrown. Yeah.
Like, oh, actually, your table is not ready after all.
Actually, you gotta go.
It's gonna be across the road at McDonald's,
at another place, but not here.
Yeah,
yeah. That's kind of like what I want to talk about a little bit too. Is I feel like the industry as a whole, because you know, restaurants are kind of the soul sister to hotels and hospitality.
It's all service.
We're all
industry.
In hospitality. Yeah. So I feel like, you know, we're soul sisters in that way, but. You can't set this precedence with people where, like, abuse, verbal or physical, is tolerated.
Yes.
period. Just because you're a guest, just because you're a quote-unquote paying customer, does not mean you can act that way. Yeah. You're a grown-up adult person. I'm sorry. If you're upset about something, you can be upset. I can't control your anger or mm-hmm. whatever's going on with you emotionally, but you need to control it.
Yeah.
Because you're an adult. So just calm down and don't throw shit like a toddler.
Don't throw shit.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't understand that behavior. I've never understood that behavior. Mm-hmm. I've never done anything like that ever. And I can get really fucking furious about shit mm-hmm. pretty damn quickly.
She sure can.
You just have to keep yourself in check.
Yeah.
Maybe give yourself a little time out. Go sit in the car.
Yeah.
Something. But don't throw pagers. Like, the server should have at that point gone to the manager and been like, I'm not serving that table.
Mm-hmm.
You do whatever you want to do. It's not my call whether they can stay here or not. I just work here. But I'm not going to serve them. I'm not going to put myself through that.
It sounds
I'm not
like this manager would have rolled over. I mean, they took the steaks off
then,
the bill.
You know
and
what?
Shit.
You can go wait on them.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'll pick up a table somewhere else in another restaurant. I'm not dealing with that shit because I don't have to. Like, you need to. You know, people need to start standing up for themselves. The managers are typically spineless in this industry. It's just the way it is. They're, you know, natural ass lickers. That's why they're managers, and that's why they're in the position that they're in. It's just the way it is, so get used to it.
In some cases, yes.
Most cases. Just say it.
In some cases.
Most cases, that's why. They're typically not going to back you up. They have to kiss the person's ass, but you don't have to. You can tell them, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to tolerate somebody talking to me that way or treating me like that. And if you want to refund their money and you want to go wait on them and you want to have them throw shit at you, great. Enjoy your night, but...
Yep.
I'm not going to ruin my night, so.
All right. Good point. Alrighty, so my last little story isn't from Reddit. It's from me. So I recently got to go to Washington, D.C., and I went up for a work thing for my other job for, like, a day, but decided to have them push my flight back for a few days. So, instead of flying back on, like, a Thursday, I flew back on a Sunday, and my partner flew up that Thursday night, and, you know, we just kind of hung out around D.C. for a weekend. It was a great trip overall. We stayed at a really nice place, like, right on the National Mall, really great location.
That's awesome.
We surprisingly got a room upgrade, which was
great.
I had sent them a little message,
nice.
You know, like, you know, hey, if, you know, if there's anything that you can do, I'd love to, you know, have a great view of, you know, like the National Mall or whatever. Because,
nice.
You know, some of the rooms, I mean, it's a four-sided building. Some of the rooms are better than others.
Yeah.
And they sent me back this email that was like, well, here's all the upgrades that you can get. And it's like, you can get this room for like an extra $100 a night, or this room for an extra $250 a night, or whatever. Which I didn't do because I was trying to do this as cheap as possible.
Sure.
And
we all are.
I was like, you know, screw it. So whatever. We get there though, and they surprised us and gave us an upgrade anyway for free. Which
was
awesome and
very
unexpected.
Awesome. Yeah, great.
And so we had a cool view of, like, you know, the Washington Memorial and stuff. The hotel was nice. There's not really anything special to say about that. But the cool thing about Washington is that, you know, everything's free for the most part. All the attractions are free.
Mm-hmm.
They're paid by your tax dollars.
Yep.
So, you know, really the only money that we spent was on the hotel and on, you know, food, which we love eating, like, at nice places, especially when we're on vacation. We love, experiencing new food and stuff. So, but that was nice to have that offset. That expense offset with everything else being free. So,
yes,
that's
absolutely
cool. But, the only thing that I had planned was, because I had to pre-plan this, was a tour of the Capitol building. That was really cool. But everything else was real loose. I've had, the experience in the past of, like, over-planning a trip. I don't know about you and your husband.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I've, like, planned the shit out of stuff, and we're going to be here at this time, and we're just going to roll through it all.
Not me. Trying to plan stuff with my husband is impossible, so...
Well,
never really happened. Mine, but I know what you're talking about.
Mine's good that he just goes with the flow.
Yeah.
But I have grown out of that, thankfully, and I just kind of want to, you know, just
That's usually the way that we try. We do things. I mean, we kind of have an idea. Like, he'll tell me, oh, well, we're going here, and I really want to do this while we're here at some point, but we don't have, like, oh, we have to do this. We don't have, like, an itinerary.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one of the things, even, like, that I really wanted to do this trip was go to the National Archives and see in person, like, see the Constitution, absolutely. The Declaration of Independence. It didn't happen. But that's fine. Like, it was still a relaxing trip. We had fun. We saw a lot of shit. You know, we toured the Capitol building. We went into the Supreme Court and saw that.
That's so awesome.
How was that?
Tell me about that. How was that, like, going in there?
It was awesome. They've got this really cool exhibit downstairs where you go in, and it talks about the court through history and stuff like that. And then you go upstairs through this really beautiful staircase that's just encased in marble. Even the handrail on the staircase is marble. The stairs are marble. I mean, it's like, it's amazing. Beautiful. Yeah. Yes. And upstairs on that second level is where the main courtroom is, where the court meets. And typically the public can go in there, just kind of wander in and out, I guess, when, you know, the court's not in session, which they weren't. But they were in there, like, renovating, so they had the courtroom closed, unfortunately. Oh,
that's a shame.
But it was still just a really cool building. But then after that, we went kind of next door to the Library of Congress. It's gorgeous inside. It's, like, super ornate. It's got all these amazing quotes lining the walls from, you know, all this stuff throughout history. It's got these really amazing, like, tributes, I guess, to famous authors throughout history. It had everything from, like, Homer to, you know, some American authors to, you know, just, it was great mix of just literary, like, history. And then the bad thing about that, probably the most beautiful room in that building is the main reading room. And apparently it's only open to the public on President's Day and Columbus Day.
Oh, okay.
Every other day, there's like a viewing area where you can kind of go up with a group of people and you can, like, kind of like in. Overlook it from plexiglass.
Right.
But there's actually people down there working and researching and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, I completely understand why they keep it closed off. You can go...
At least they let you see it. At least there's, like, a viewing section so you can see what it looks like.
You can go to another office next door and get, like, it's called a reader's card where you tell them what you're researching and whatever. It is completely open to the public, but you have to get that initial permission to actually go in there. But it's just a gorgeous room. But, yeah, that was a beautiful building. I mean, everything in Washington is just... You know, it's all, like, Greco-Roman, and it's just...
amazing.
It's beautiful. It was my first time.
The architecture is just...
Yeah. So you've been
amazing.
There?
No, I've never been there. Okay. But I've, you know...
But...
Obviously seen the buildings.
Well, yeah.
And, you know,
absolutely.
All of that. So.
Sorry, I thought you had.
No, I would love to go. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's...
No, I haven't been.
It's gorgeous. And even more so in person, like I've always been obsessed with this... artwork that's in the very top of the rotunda in the Capitol building. Called the Apotheosis of Washington.
Yes.
Where he's, like, ascending to heaven. He's got all these, like, Greco-Roman gods and shit around him.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's beautiful. But in person, it's crazy. Like, the way it was painted, it looks almost like 3D. Like, the characters really pop out at you because of the curvature of the dome.
Right.
And, I mean, it is just... stunning. And I even, you know, of course, like everybody else in that room, I snapped a picture of it, but it does not do it justice. It's astounding.
It's definitely something that you need to see in person.
Yeah,
for absolutely. Sure.
That was probably the one thing in Washington where I was like, this is just amazing, just in person. You know,
that's why people come from all over.
Yeah,
to go, people come from all over the world to go there
and like
see those buildings and see that art and see all that.
Yeah, I'm a complete political junkie anyway. I love politics. I love government. I love the interplay of those. I love the race for power. I love, you know, how laws are made. I follow it all. I'm a complete nerd with politics.
But, yeah, me and you talked about it a little bit. I'm the same way. I don't keep up with it near as much as you do anymore. I used to, but I kind of stopped because I got, you know, a little...
disgusted.
Jaded and disgusted, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I needed to take a moment.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, so our hotel was really cool. It had this awesome rooftop bar, like a lot of hotels there in D.C., because, you know, everything's a great view.
Yeah.
And we went up there that first night we were there, and I saw the White House all lit up at night. And
do they still do, like, the different colors? Are they still doing that, or are they not doing that anymore? Okay, it's just, like, with the white lights now. Yeah. That's cool.
Now, they did the multicolors when Obama was in office, like, during Pride Month and stuff. Yeah, they used to, like,
change colors. Or, like, didn't it change? They'd make it
green for, like, St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, it would change colors and stuff.
But, I mean, that was, that first night when I saw the White House for the first time in person, that was really, like, a cathartic moment for me. Like, that, I don't know, I can't explain it, but it hit me so hard that, like, this is that building that I've seen in all this news coverage, all these movies, all these TV shows. This is the building where so much history has been made and decided, and it just, like the impact.
Like, where that horrible things have happened, but then also wonderful things have happened
and all that, at the same time. Combined with the Capitol building, combined with the Supreme Court, like, these are the institutions that have built
our nation.
This huge country civilized and kept it from, you know, devolving into anarchy or
chaos.
Whatever. I mean, it's just, it's astounding that human beings are able to build something like this. Like, I just can't even.
And especially, but, like, thinking about, like, we came from a monarchy, you know, that's what we came from, having a king, and that's what we came from. Like, we didn't come from men who could sit in a room and make
and
laws.
Debate. Yeah.
Regular people and allow the regular people to even do something like that, you know, like, that was never even heard of. It's amazing that we're still here, still doing the same thing 400 whatever years later.
It's awesome. All right, so back to the trip. Sorry for that little tangent, but almost got emotional. If I had any
tear. You don't have any anymore. You work in hospitality.
Yeah.
You're dead on the inside.
I'm dead on the inside. Like that supervisor you're talking about.
You have no soul.
But so we left the Library of Congress, and we initially walked down almost the full length of about half the length of the National Mall to get to the Capitol building. And we were thinking about going, like, way back up to see the Washington Monument, go even further to see the Lincoln Memorial. We're like, God, that's a long fucking way. So we found this, you know, rent-a-bike service in D.C. called
I saw
Capital
your Snapchat.
Bike Share. So, you know, it's like City Bike in New York, or, you know, about any kind of metro bike rental.
Yeah,
you
think all the major cities have them now.
So we bought, like, a 24-hour pass. It was, like, $8 or something. It was, like, nothing. And you can take a bike whenever you want. You dock it, you know, wherever you want, wherever there's a station. And there's a ton of them, you know, close to a lot of the attractions. And then whenever you're ready to go, you just go back to whichever station.
Get another bike. Yeah.
It's really easy. So we got to ride a bike down the National Mall. And after walking, oh, my God, it felt like we were going, like, warp speed. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
We rode around the Washington Monument. We got to see that.
So, like, let me ask you this. I don't even mean to interrupt you, but when's the last time that you rode a bike? Like, do you ride bikes normally?
It's been years.
So how did that go for you? I want you to talk about that for a minute.
I was a little shaky. I was a little shaky at first.
Because I wonder if I could ride one again. Because I haven't rode one.
You could. These bikes are like very, a teenager. Yeah, these bikes are very consumer friendly. They're actually a little high. Like, you and I are both pretty short.
Yeah.
And I think they're made a little tall, actually, to keep fucking kids off of them because they don't want to deal with the accidents or kids damaging the bikes or whatever. Only adults can ride these
bikes.
That's
hilarious.
But I mean, like, I put the seat all the way down and I was still kind of, like, on my tippy toes whenever I stopped.
Great.
But you know, I dealt with it. I had a sore butt for a couple of days, but, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
No, it was fine. After I got going and kind of, you know, found my groove, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. How did you record that?
very carefully. So I recorded a video of me riding down the National Mall.
It's like all over the place too.
Yeah, with, like, the Washington Monument in the background. Yeah, riding toward it. But yeah, that was.
And I was like, how did he record this?
It was not easy. That was after I was more comfortable with the bike, though.
He's like one-handed.
I was steering with one hand and recording with the other. But I'd been on it for, like, a couple hours at that point. I think.
Gotcha.
But
yeah, I was curious about that. I was like, does he like ride bikes? Because I've never seen a bike.
Hell no.
But anywhere at his house.
But I would kind of like to get one now that I've got one. It's like great exercise. Yeah. And yeah. But all right. So we rode around the Washington Monument. It is closed through I think 2019 or something. They're like doing some shit on the inside and restoring it, so we didn't get to go in. But then we rode on to the Lincoln Memorial, and between the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial is the huge reflecting pool that you always see on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then by the time you get down to the Lincoln Memorial, you look back, and you see the Washington Monument, and then behind that, you see the Capitol Building, and it's just all there. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So, you know, that was really cool. We went into the Lincoln Memorial and, you know, saw him, and he's humongous, and
yeah,
it's just gorgeous.
It's a little creepy. Yeah.
And then the last thing we did that night, before dinner, after dinner, I don't know, I think after dinner, we walked over to the White House because it was close by, and we saw it, you know, closer up at night from the front, and we were right there like on Pennsylvania Avenue where, you know, like at the front entrance or whatever. And we shot a couple of pictures. We were as close as you could get with, you know, the barricades and shit. But the funny thing is, like, that was the night that Trump pardoned Sheriff Joe Arpaio. So shortly after that happened, whoever's out there, they came riding up, that, you know, there were guards and stuff there anyway, but like a couple of other dudes came up and they were like, all right, everybody back to the park across the road from the White House. They wouldn't let you get up to the barricade anymore. You had to be completely across the street in the park. I don't know if they were waiting for protests to break out or what, but we were like, fuck this, and we just got out.
Yeah, that's
like,
the smart thing to do.
We got to the other end of the park, got an Uber, and, like, we were gone.
Yeah, you noped out
but
quick.
It was like, no, I just wanted a picture.
Right? I just want a photo for my Snapchat.
Yeah. Is that too much to ask? Could you not keep your mouth shut for one fucking minute, please? Trump.
Oh my god.
Oh god, it's making this cheap ass wine more palatable. Anyway, so that next day, the only thing that we did, we went to the U.S. Botanical Gardens, which Corey, my partner, really enjoyed. He loves plants, he loves flowers, he's got a really green thumb. Like, I could barely get him in the door.
That.
Like, he kept taking pictures of shit at, like outside.
Like, oh my god.
And I'm like, you know, there's more, like, inside. Come on, let's go.
There is.
Yeah. But no, he absolutely loved it. I loved it. I thought it was really neat. It was gorgeous in there.
Yeah.
They had the corpse flower in there. Have you heard of this?
No, I don't think that I have.
So
tell me about this.
It's this big ass flower. Like, I mean, it's probably 7-8 feet tall.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It's massive. And, it takes like 2 to 3 years to, I don't remember exactly. It takes like 2 to 3 years to bloom. When it finally blooms, it opens up and it's like really this pretty pink.
Oh,
and,
wow.
The reason they call it the corpse flower, it's a couple of reasons. A, when it blooms, it dies within a couple of days. Like,
aww.
After growing for years and years, it blooms, it's real pretty, then it dies. And then the other reason is because when it blooms, it smells like dead animals.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's really unique. Like, so much so that it attracts vultures and stuff. Yeah. So, we were there, and the main one, the big one, hadn't bloomed yet. It was still all closed up. But they had one that had bloomed a few days before over to the side, and they had the leaves laid out, or the petals laid out, where you could, like, smell and stuff. And it, I mean, it's intense. It's crazy.
Oh.
But it's really, really neat. Yeah.
So, like, when you first approach, can you smell it? Like, how many feet away are you that you can smell
the
stench?
Since
the
one that they had died, like, you know, probably a week or so before.
Oh, okay. So it was already
dead. You didn't really smell it.
I see.
But they still have one. It might have opened by now, actually. But they still had one that was waiting to open. And I guess it's pretty intense when it first blooms, those first couple of days.
Probably so, yeah.
It's, like, very
noticeable.
So you can
smell, like, when you begin to approach.
Yeah,
pretty much. Feet away, several feet away, probably.
Yeah.
Well, you said it's
vultures.
So, yeah, they can... Oh, God. Isn't that crazy?
And it's so funny because they have it.
I wonder why. Like, I wonder, is that so that, like, nothing will come along and destroy it or want to get near it? Or is that, like, a defense?
I don't know.
Mechanism for the flower?
I'm sure they had that information, but I didn't
read it. You didn't read it? Unbelievable.
So, yeah, look it up on Wikipedia if you care. But it was neat. But yeah, it was beautiful in there, you know. Yeah, the only other thing I'll mention about DC, we had lunch at this cool place called Old Ebbets Grill, and they bill themselves as like the oldest saloon in DC. A bunch of former like presidents and stuff have like stood around there drinking throughout the years. And
I would love that. That's awesome.
It was really nice. And we had a couple of nice dinners. Probably the best was at this place called Lead Diplomat. And it was just excellent. I got this gorgeous steak. Corey got this amazing duck breast, I think.
Duck.
And it's French. Did I say that?
Yes.
Okay. And
well, I assume from the name of the restaurant.
Yeah, true. And apparently it's a place where a lot of, like, you know, senators, congressmen.
I was
going to
ask if you saw anybody or if you,
I would have if it had
noticed
been,
anybody or saw
if
anybody.
If it hadn't been during the August recess.
Yeah.
Everybody's back in their home states.
Yeah.
So,
that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see shit.
But sometimes they stay. Not everybody leaves. Yeah. So,
Overall, it was a great trip. DC is definitely one of the more budget-friendly places to go if you're looking for something really outstanding.
Really splurge on a really nice place to stay, you know, and eat like you guys did, you know, like splurge on that, and then because everything else is free, that all the touristy stuff that you're going to want to do, you don't have to pay for. So that's awesome.
It was really cool. All right, so enough about me. We'll move on to our picks of the week. Sarah, do you want to go first? Yours is more heavy and like you know, relevant than mine. Mine's real light and fluffy. what's your pick of the week?
Sure, I can go ahead and go. So my pick of the week, since we are having a horrible hurricane right now, Hurricane Harvey.
I heard something about that.
Yeah, it's absolutely devastated Houston.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
I really try not to
it's
watch
really terrible.
So much news because I know what they're doing. They want ratings and they're just turning it into like disaster porn. But
absolutely.
I kind of can't stop watching. I mean, it is just absolutely astounding. It's so heartbreaking.
It really is.
But anyway, sorry. What's your pick?
No, that's fine. So my pick is it's actually it's called ADRA. And ADRA is actually a support agency. It's a relief agency. It's the Adventist Relief Agency, and they're basically like first responders. They collaborate with the Red Cross, and they collaborate with even the United Parcel Service, all kinds of other you know, well-known organizations.
UPS, United Parcel Service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
UPS.
They
what the fuck is that? And then it hit me.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Sorry. So that they can drop, you know, goods to people in devastated areas.
Okay.
Yeah, they're really, really, really well known. And basically this is who you need to be giving your money to. There's a lot of stuff out there right now asking you for money.
Yes.
And be very, very, very careful about this. Because most of them are scams. ADRA is not a scam. ADRA has been around since the beginning of time. They're not going to rip you off.
Mm-hmm.
80% or even more of what you donate goes to the victims of these disasters.
Wow.
That's all they do is disasters. They specialize in disasters. They're the first people there. They're the last people to leave.
Okay.
They have doctors on staff. I mean, they know exactly what they're doing. They've been doing this, like I said, forever. This is who you need to be giving your money to, or the Red Cross. ADRA is better. Because Azure can even get into places that the Red Cross can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get in quicker, and they can be more effective than the Red Cross can be at a lot of, in a lot of situations. So, yeah, don't give money to people on Facebook.
Yes.
Don't give money to people on Twitter. Don't do that. Give your money to people like this. And we'll post all of Azure's information everywhere. We'll post it all over the place for whoever wants to help. With, they have a direct link actually on their website if you want to specifically direct your money to the Hurricane Harvey victims also.
Cool.
That's another good thing about Azure. So definitely get on their website and check this out because, I mean, they have just so much information, so much that you can do for people all over the world. So, yeah, I just highly, highly recommend them if you want to do something to help people. This is the route to go. This is a reputable source to go to.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right.
Now your pick of the week, friend.
So, nothing...
On that note.
Nothing so important, but...
it's important. Yeah. This was actually going to be my pick of the week, so...
Really? All right. So, mine is Ozark. It's on Netflix. It's a new show that came out probably maybe a week or two ago.
Yeah, I want to watch this so bad. Everybody's talking about the show. I'm super stoked.
I watched a lot of it in the airport and on the planes and stuff. But, and if you don't know, Netflix does offer offline viewing now. If you plan ahead, you can download episodes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, do they?
You can download episodes to your device. Very cool. When you don't have an internet connection, you can still watch it. And from the time you start the episode, you have 48 hours to finish it. So, yeah, it's really cool.
And does it, like... Well, would it still eat up data?
Well, like, so if you download it at home on Wi-Fi... Or I guess you've downloaded it,
so... Yeah, then it's not going to use data either that way.
It does eat up a lot of memory on your device. Sure. So you have to have something with, like, you know, a lot of memory, but... But, yeah, anyway, so that's a great feature of Netflix. That's how I was able to watch most of the show offline. But I sure as hell wrapped up the show when I got home. It is... outstanding.
Yeah, I'm super stoked for this.
Jason Bateman is one of the two leads. He's really surprisingly good in a dramatic role, if you know him from Arrested Development. Laura Linney is his counterpart. She plays his wife. Love her.
She's one of my favorite actresses. You know that she was in... Have you seen The Mothman Prophecies?
No.
Maybe that'll be my pick of the week next week.
Okay. Well, if it is, then I'll watch it. But...
Yeah, because you do everything I say.
I mean, so just without giving a lot away, the show's about this, you know, upper middle class family, if not upper class family in Chicago that, there's Oscar in the background. But they have to uproot their lives because they're caught up in this criminal syndicate. And anyway, they move to the Ozarks to help launder money for this drug cartel. And Laura Linney, Jason Bateman's amazing in it, but Laura Linney is really the standout in this, even if she's not really meant to be
the lead.
That's
what I've heard from everybody.
She acts the fuck out of this role. Like, she is amazing. Because
she's not playing, like, the tropey wife that doesn't know what's going on.
No.
Which is what I thought at first. And but then I heard that that's not what not is all. Happening. Like, she's in on it,
she's
got, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's in on the whole thing and is, like, down.
And she's got, well, and she's got a lot going on. Like, she... well, I can give this away because it's in the first episode. It's not a big deal, but she's like cheating on her husband before all this shit breaks loose and shit hits the fan, and so she's got that fallout
that going
to deal
on.
With,
sure,
and
sure.
The criminal shit to deal with, and then trying to protect the kids. And I mean, she is just so multifaceted in this role. It's amazing. And there's this scene in, I want to say it's the 7th episode, maybe the 8th. Where her and Jason Bateman have, I mean, they have a lot of arguments throughout the series because, you know, they're
sure
going through some shit.
And they're married, and that's just what happens
but,
with children.
this argument is one of the best pieces of acting I've ever seen. Like, it is just
so intense.
It pulls you into it, and it is
where
just...
Where you're like...
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Like, I felt uncomfortable watching it. Like, I shouldn't be invading their privacy.
Like,
it was
like, they're
so
really
good.
Married having a fight.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, shit.
I mean, they are so real in
well,
this.
Well, we're going to go now.
Yeah. They
like
are so
one of those
real
fights,
in
like, at the yearly Christmas party or whatever.
Yes.
At your cousin's house.
Exactly. So, That is by far my pick of the week. Hilarious. Ozark on Netflix.
Yeah, it's super stoked to watch it. Isn't it like, it looks, I watched a, Netflix did a pretty good preview of it that I watched, and it looks like it's been filmed, like, and on one of those, like, filtered cameras or something. Know. Like, does it have, like, kind of, like, a different it wash or color a, over it?
Yeah, it does kind of have a, like, tone a bluish, to it. Yeah.
It kind of looks blue to me. Is that how the whole entire, or was that just, like, the scenes that they were showing me in the preview? No, think about it.
A lot of the stuff before they moved to the Ozarks is shot pretty, pretty normally. You know, you see the big city and all that stuff. And then, after they moved down there, it's definitely got more of a filtered look to it. And, you know, they want you to, I guess they want to convey that you're in a very different place from where they started. And
so that's cool. I like movies and shows different. Like that. I like when they do that. Yeah. I like when they change, the colors and really, like, it pulls me in more.
Yeah.
So it I'm super stoked for this.
I'm probably gonna binge it this week. It's so good. Yeah, you should.
So I'm excited.
You can let us know what you think about it.
I will. I think I'm gonna binge. Like I said, that was gonna be my pick, but then I saw that you picked it. So well, then we had Harvey going on too. So of course, I want to talk about Azra.
She wants to look like the good person.
Anyway, everybody knows I'm horrible. I'm the one that gets all the hate mail, so it's fine.
Oh God. Yeah. Speaking of hate mail, if you haven't listened to the last episode, our bonus episode of Game of Thrones. Be sure to listen to that and send all your hate mail to Sarah.
Yeah, if you don't hate me now, you'll definitely hate me after that episode. I hate John and Danny.
Oh, God. Here we go. All right. So, I think that's it for this week.
That's it. Yep.
Thank you so much for listening.
It's another one in the bag.
Be sure to listen to check out Cut My Pod for all of our show notes. And you can send us your hospitality stories or any stories from the service industry. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Caught My Pod.
We're on Reddit too now. We do have a Reddit page. We just have to wait the 30 days before we can really do anything on there. But I think we're already like a week.
Getting there. Yeah.
Week or two in.
That's coming up.
So, but we are on there. We are on Reddit. So.
And, usually I say something like, rate us on iTunes or whatever. But actually, I don't give a fuck. You don't have to rate us on iTunes. What I do want you to do more than anything is, like, tell a couple of friends about us. Let people know that you are listening, that, you enjoy the show, and, get us some more listeners. We're doing great. We're new podcast.
Share us around.
But,
absolutely.
Share us around to your friends. We want more discussion. Definitely. I want more hate mail directed at Sarah. So tell your friends.
Hate. Yes. I bring the hate.
Yes. She eats it for breakfast.
I love it.
It's her thing. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Everybody have a great week. Goodbye.
Bye.
I don't know why the lights went off in those last 30 seconds.
Yeah,
it's something to do with my Hue bulbs, because the power's still on.
Is he, laying on something, Oscar?
No.
Is he, laying on the remote?
It's all, on your smartphone and shit.
Oh, okay.
It almost makes me think that Corey was in the Hue app, at work, and is screwing with us, and, turned the lights off. Because you can do it remotely.
That would
you
be awesome if he did that.
Like, fucker. I don't know. But
I would
go.
Love him
They're
for doing
on.
That. That's hilarious.
Oh, but yeah,
I'm glad you didn't say anything about it this time, though, because usually you say shit.
I know. I just kept rolling with it. I'm like, well, we're just in the dark. But get us some followers.
I almost said, did you forget to pay the light bill?
Right.
The fuck, Derek?